Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chavtes, and we were holding right up at the second line. B'tish'a ba'av, nigzar al avotenu shelo yikanes la'aretz. That's what we're up to. So the Mishnah said, one of the things about Tisha B'av is that the first thing is that the gezerah in the Midbar after the Ma'aseh Meraglim was made on Tisha B'av. How do we know this? So in order to be able to get to a clear understanding, we're going to have to go back and trace the events of that year. And that way we could figure out how it is that we know that the Meraglim came back specifically at that time that the Bechiah took place on Leil Tisha B'Av. Or Yom Tisha B'Av, and Yom Tetzim Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, which we'll speak about. So we start at placing ourselves at the immediate end of the Hakamas HaMishkan, which is Vayi B'Chodesh HaRishon B'Shana HaShinit B'Chad L'Chodesh Hukam HaMishkan. So, okay, that means we're holding now on the first day of the second year was the Hakamas HaMishkan, and as we learned in the Braisa, the Asiyas HaMishkan was during the first year, Shana Mishana HaSam Moshe HaMishkan, and in the second year, Hekim Moshe HaMishkan, V'shalach ha-meraglim, and if we continue reading it, Parshas Maaseh, what we discover is that it was b'shana ha-shenit b'chodesh ha-sheni b'esrim b'chodesh. When did we have the first time that the anane ha-kovod lifted off and we started moving? That was on the second month, on the 20th day of the month, na'ala ha-anan mi'al mishkan ha-edut. So now that we began to move, and it says, Vayis'o, Vayis'umi Arashem, Derech Shloshet Yami. So that then we traveled for 3 days, Mehar Hashem, and Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina pointed out that those 3 days were already the beginning of the end. Because, Oto Ayom Soru Me'acharei Hashem. So Mehar Hashem, we're understanding to be a remiss to, oh my God, my hair, meaning very quickly, took nothing but 3 days to leave our Sinai, and that was it. We were already turning our back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because what happened then was Ha'asafsuf Asher B'kirbo Itavu Ta'ava V'yashuvo V'yivku Gam B'nei Yisrael. So that's when we had the complaining that we don't have anything to eat. And this was the Erev Rav, which was the Asafsuf. And then Klal Yisrael joined up with them. And then, because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, the Gezerah is that you're going to be eating this stuff for a full month, which now we understand a full month to be. There's a little bit of a machlokas where we're going to see, but Rashi understands the nature of a full month is 29 days, standard month, because the month never gets to be 30 days other than as in order to average it out. So that means that the Achilas Basar was for 29 days. So therefore, we have to put the whole thing together. And then when we're ready, that brings us all the way up to Avilu Esrin Vetarta B'Sivan, which brings us all the way, if we start on the 20th day of Iyar, which was the Ha'alata Anan, and then we have those 3 days of traveling, that's the 23rd of Iyar, and then we have 29 further days. So that brings us to the 22nd of Sivan. And then we have Miriam, in which it says, Vatisager Miriam Shiv'at Yamim. So then after that Saras, that says Beferish, that we didn't travel, Ade Asef Miriam. So then that brings us all the way up to the 29th. So we're now holding on the 29th day of Sivan. We were at the 22nd. We added the 7 days of Ade Asef Miriam. Okay. So then, as we're ready now to invade Eretz Yisrael, the next minute it says, Shlach Lecha Anashim. So we send out the Meraglim. So that means on the 29th of Sivan, Moshe sent the Meraglim. Now, when did they come back? It says at the end of 40 days. Vayashuvul mitur haaretz miketz arba'im yom. So if we count 40 days starting on the 29th of Sivan, so that brings us to the 8th day of Av, and then they told over the Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. That night, everybody sat and was crying all night, as it says, and that became Leil Tisha B'Av, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Geyser, as we'll see later on, Atem Bechita Bechia Shachinam, Avani Kvalach Bechia L'Dereis, and so that was the next morning after the Leil Tisha B'Av. Well, hold on a second. But that doesn't work. That's not, how do you get that? Well, that wouldn't be 40 days. That would be 39 days from the 29th of Sivan to the 8th of Av, because Tammuz is always 29 days. And that's the norm. If we talk about the Molei and Chaser in order, so then we're actually, if we assume that Tammuz was a standard Tammuz of 29 days, so then that brings us only to the 8th of Av. So how exactly does that work out? Ah, says Abaya. That is, and this becomes basically the reason why we treat Rosh Chodesh, remember, as a Moyed. It's based on this Pasuk. Because as Abaya says, you can be Medayik in the Pasuk, that Tammuz Dahi Shata Maluye Malua, that this was the, it was brought about Min HaShamayim, that year Tammuz should be a full month. As it's full, that means a full 30 days. Tichtiv kara alai moed lishbor bachuraya. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a day of Rosh Chodesh, meaning that day, the 30th, which normally would have been the beginning now of the next month, Kadosh Baruch Hu turned that into the day of the extension of the month, and therefore we made the next day that became Rosh Chodesh, and that gives it a din of a moed. And it's from there that we always bring the nature, we're going to see later on even in the sugya here, about the chag. Rosh Chodesh has a din of a chag, because it's called moed. There's a beautiful, beautiful maimer by Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who writes that what is the significance of that? That, you know, Tammuz Dahi Shata Malua Ma'ayas, what does that mean? He says, because the point is, if that Rosh Chodesh had been the Rosh Chodesh that was Kavua al Pi Bezdin, instead of just being a default Rosh Chodesh, because the Edom didn't show up, and Bezdin wasn't able to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, and therefore it became Moleh. So if it had been a Mikra by Bezdin, then that would have given the Kedusha on that day, and because of that, there never would have been the additional problem of the day of Tisha B'Av, because the day of Tisha B'Av, remember, is, we've spoken about this in Shurim very often, that the day of Tisha B'Av is connected to 365 days in the solar year. Each one are connected one of the mitzvahs leisas and the Torah, which are Shin Samach Hei. And the day that is connected Tisha B'Av is the day of the lav of the Alken Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael at Gidan Hashem. Because that was the failing of Yaakov Avinu, in which he was shown to be vulnerable to these keches of Ra. So if Bezdin had been able to be Mekadesh the Chodesh, so then the whole thing would have been a completely different story, because then we would have been on the 10th of Av, and the 10th of Av would not have been on that day that was Mesugo for failure, and therefore the Kedusha Yisrael would have been enough to have offset the Churban. Anyway, but forget about the exact, you know, issue, whether he's right about the exact point, but certainly the nafkamina between a chodesh that miluya malua because of a default versus the kedushas bezdin of a mikra chodesh is tremendously meaningful, and that continues the issues that we saw in the importance of the interrelationship back in Rosh Hashanah of month and of year. There's kenegad shin samach hayomim. Anyway, so because of that, it turns out that Korah Laimo'ed Bedavka, in order to Lishbor Bachurai, to destroy, to break, to crush all of the youngsters of Klal Yisrael that so suffered from this. Now, once that's true, so then we go on to the story in the Chumash. This is the way Rashi understands it. Tosus understands that the Chedesh Yamim of the Achila is 30 days, and that the meaning over here is that they came back on Tisha B'Av, and on Tisha B'Av Gufo was the Bechia, and that's why towards the end of Tisha B'Av, only towards the end of Tisha B'Av, as we're going to see, was there an actual Eish in the Beis HaMikdash, because it was after the Gezerah of Atem Bechita Bechia Shochinam. But okay, but still, the basic idea is the same between Rashi and Tosfos. So what happened then? Uchtiva tisa kolo idava yetnuat kolam vayivko amba lailahu. What was that day? Omer Rabba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, oto ayom erev tisha b'av haya. So again, according to Rashi, it means the day before, the night before. Amar lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, atem bechitem bechiyah shechinam, v'ani koveh lachem bechiyah ledorot. You want to cry about nothing, and instead of accepting the tremendous gift of Eretz Yisrael, I give to you like a bunch of spoiled children, so we'll treat you like a bunch of spoiled children. Now you'll cry that you don't get what you were promised. Exactly. So I'll give you plenty to cry about. And this is the whole idea of chinam, in which people look at life through these distorted lenses, and only when all of a sudden reality is reasserted do they realize what idiots, it's true of all, I shouldn't say they, all of us, of course, and that's good for the only mocker for real crying and for real teshuva and for a real discovery of self. So that is okay. We said that that's what happened as item number one on Tisha B'Av. Now, how do we know the second thing? Namely, that the Chorav HaBayit B'Rishona, the Bayit HaRishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Where does it say that? Well, we have two interesting psukim that talk about different dates. One pasuk says that in the fifth month, which is Av, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of Melech Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, that's when the Nevuzradan Rav Tabachim, the great murderous Nazi, whose name was Nebuzradan, who was the head of the SS, he was the Eved Melech Bavel, so he comes to Yerushalayim, Vayisrof et Beit Hashem, and he burns down the house of Hashem. Now that's mashma, that it took place, as it says over here, on the 7th. So that's good for what it says in Malachim. Now the thing is, that there's another posik that says, B'chodesh HaChamishi, B'asor LaChodesh, you're talking about that same Chodesh HaChamishi, which is of, and here it says on the 10th of the month, and it's clear it's the same time we're talking about over because it's the 19th year, same thing, 19th year of Melech Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel, same Nevuzradan Rav Tabachim, he was Amad Lifnei Melech Bavel B'Yerushalayim, and it says over there that he burnt down the bias as well. Now, this is the Pesuk in Yirmiyahu. I mean, so how do we have two different dates, one in Malachim and one in Yirmiyahu? So the Braisa explains that both of these, this is basically a window that is being described between that period in Malachim and the end of the period in Yirmiyahu. So actually, obviously, Yev Shalom Arba Shiva, Shar Kvar Ne'amar Ba'asar. And Yev Shalom Arba Asar, Shar Kvar Ne'amar Ba'Shiva. So when the Pesuk does that, it's giving us insight into a process, obviously. It can't mean that it means literally the bias was Nisraf on the 7th or that the bias was Nisraf on the 10th. Both of them would be a stira. So how do we explain it? So HaKetzad, B'Shiva Nichnesu Nochrim Le'echal. So on the 7th of Av, we have the Goyim going into the Beis HaMikdash and being mezalzalit and doing disgusting things there. So v'yachlu v'kilkulu bo shvi v'shmini, look all of the medrashim, not even things that are kedai to say. They're so disgusting. And Tishi, Samach l'chashecha, on the 9th of Av, close to the evening, Heitzitu bo et ha'ur, that's when they lit the fire. V'hayadolek v'lech kol ha'yom kulo, and it continued to burn the entire 10th of Av. Shenemar oy lanu ki fana hayom ki natu tzilalei orev. So horrible that the day is now has now almost ended, and the long shadows of the night are coming close. So this is basically understood that towards the evening of the yom of Tisha B'Av, that was the oy lanu. V'hayinu d'yom Rabbi Yochanan. That's the reason that Rabbi Yochanan used to say that if it would be up to me, and I would have been in that door and would be koveya, the tainis, that would be lederes, I would have said that it should be on the 10th of Av. Because basically the 9th of Av was just the beginning. But the Ruba Shelecha was actually burned on the 10th of Av. And why indeed the Rabbanan of the time, why were they koveya at lederes on the 9th of Av? Because atchalta de puranuta adifa, to be able to recognize, this is something we spoke about before. We always look to the root or to the beginning of a thing. That's what we spoke about in when we're talking about Rosh Hashanah, that the haschala of a thing is definitive of it. And this in many different areas, including chinuch. And so the same thing is true in terms of churban. There's such a thing as the chinuch of churban. And that is therefore Tisha B'Av itself. And that's why we made that. However, halacha l'maisa, you will recall, that we're very machmir because of this, as the Beforshim bring, as the Peskin bring, we're very machmir on the 10th of Av as well. So because of that, we are careful not to begin being makel and all the things that were also on Tisha B'Av until Chatzos of the 10th of Av. So that the main part of the day should be finished because we're shomer the day of the Sreifa as well. Okay, and then you said in the Mishnah that the Beis HaMikdash was also Chorov B'Shniya. How do we know that the second Beis HaMikdash was also Chorov on Tisha B'Av? Well, take a look at the price, Titania. Migalgalin Zechut L'Yom Zakai V'Chova L'Yom Chayav. So first of all, since what we're talking about over here is the getter of Moed, in which Zmanim are Miyuchodim, and it's not only Zmanim, by the way, interestingly enough, remember, the concept of Moed goes back to the sun and the moon, right? And that's the Otot HaShamayim. And the Moedim, therefore, are Be'etzem tied to the events of the sun and the moon directly. So because of that, we view a Likui of the Ma'oros as being a Gilui of elements of Moed. That's a fascinating halacha, which is Nogea halacha l'maisa. I'll show you where it's Nogea halacha l'maisa. The question is, are women chayavot in Sfiras HaOmer? Now, I mean, the question over there is that we have, we're counting over here from the Mimochorat HaShabbat and so on, and that should, be'etzem, give us a din of a mitzvah that is dependent on Zman. This relates also to the question of whether women are supposed to be Mevorech, Berachas HaLevana, and so on. But the Shaila is, when you're counting from an event of the moon, is that considered to be a time, or is that considered to be a phenomenon? So that's the question. If you hold that something that happens in the moon is Bedavka called a time, so then it's by definition time. But if you look at it as an event, so then whatever, it's an event in the moon, so we should be responded like any other event, because it's a time thing. It's an event thing. Okay, but in any event, there's a big machlokas among the poskim. But so here it says, because of that, Megalgalin Zechut L'Yom Zakai. So a moed describes things that are either miyuchat for good things, miyuchat for bad things. And so we bring a schus in history. It happens on a day that is a moed for good things. And cheva, we bring it in a moed for bad things. And therefore, we're going to give you an example, says the Braisa. Amru, kishacharav beit hamikdash barishona. So oto ayom erev tisha ba'av haya. So it says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so that was basically the time was the evening of Tisha B'Av. Doesn't mean the day before, it means the evening of Tisha B'Av. This is this girsa, it's a little confusing. Some don't have that girsa. But as we said, it was towards the end of the day. So it was Erev Tisha B'Av Haya, and it was a Motzoi Shabbos, and it was a Motzoi, meaning it was an eighth year, it was the year after Shemitah, and it took place during the time of the Mishmar of Yehoyariv. Fascinating that that should be here also, right? After all the inyanim that we've been learning. So it was Mishmarta Shel Yehoyariv Haita. And the Levim were in the middle of saying Shira, and they were standing on the Duchan saying Shira. And what was the Shira that they were saying? Now you would think that the Shira that they were saying would be the Shira of Yom Rishon, because we're saying that this was a Mitzvah Shabbos. So why did, instead they said something else? They said, Vayoshev aleihem et ovnam uvratam yatzmitem. So basically, this is Yom Revi'i. So Gemara discusses, and Rashi talks about an Erechin as well. This was the Losh of the Yerushalmis, Ayalta b'yalma, and the Gemara says there an Erechin, Ayalta b'yalma nafaloi v'pume. That what came in Hashamayim into their heads was that they should say something as a kina. So this was a kina. And they were saying that their own bed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on their heads, and they will be cut off in their ra. And before they got to say the double lashon of Yatzmitem, which Lamaisa is one is Merames in the Migdash Risha, and one is Merames on the Migdash Sheni. But they didn't get a chance to say Atzvitim Hashem Elokeinu, which would have meant that it was permanent. Before they even finished the Kina, the Goyim came in, killed them, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and exactly the same thing happened B'Shniya. There was also on a Mitzvah Shviyas, and so on and so forth. The Gemara discusses elsewhere the details of kashas on that, and whether each element is true, only some of it is true. Okay, but in any event, so the Braita shows that this was because this is basically a Gemara that we have, and this is because it was the same, so to speak, Yom of Moed for Ra. Furthermore, Nilkeda Beitar. How do we know that, says the Mishnah? It says the Gemara, we don't know that from anywhere other than a Gemara. That's a Kabbalah that we have, that Beitar, the Maisa Beitar was then. And what was the fifth thing? That Nechresha Ha'ir. And that says the Braita. Gishacharavtu Nestrophus HaRasha Tahichal. Nixer Akzeo Rabbi Gamliel Lahariga. It was the same day that Tornistrophus had destroyed the Heichal, meaning that it was plowed under. And on that day, they had been decreed that Rabbi Gamliel should be brought out and be killed. So there was a certain guy from Rome. He was a member of the government. And he was Omad Bebeit HaMidrash. He comes into the Beis HaMidrash in the middle of Rabbi Gamliel's learning. And he wanted to say something that the government wouldn't understand what he was saying in case anybody reported it. But what he was coming to do, he wanted to give inside information to Rabbi Gamliel that Rabbi Gamliel should get out of there fast and protect himself. So he said, Ba'al HaChotem Mitbakesh. Ba'al HaChotem Mitbakesh. The guy with the big nose is being searched for. So yes, something to mean literally that Rabbi Gamliel had a big nose, which was one of the anti-Semitic, Der Stumer pictures of Rabbi Gamliel. But Rashi also brings that Balachotim is a lotion of the one who's Choshev. If you talk about, like those Roman noses with the nose up in the air, so is the Balachotim, meaning the guy in charge, as being Mitbakesh. So he was Merames, that the government is searching for him and they're going to kill him. So then, okay, Rabbi Gamliel hears this, so he goes and he hides out. And this guy, who was obviously trying to help, they let in to speak to Rabbi Gamliel. So Ozil Agabi Bitsina say he met with him in secret. And he told Rabbi Gamliel, suppose I save you. If I get you out of this decree, Imatzil Nelecha, Maitita Lili Alma Da'asi, will you definitely bring me into Elam Haba? And Rabbi Gamliel said to him, I will. So he said, you have to make a shvua that you're going to do that. Yishtabalei, and he did. So the guy went up to the roof and committed suicide. Why did he do that? Because there is a Kabbalah among the Romans that if one of the members of the government dies on the day that they make a decree, that's a sign that the gods are angry at the decree. So therefore, since this guy died, so now it must be they thought to themselves, it must be that the gods are angry at the decree against Rabbi Gamliel, so they had to be mevatel the decree. So that was the only way that he could save him. So v'gemirei, so they have this kabbalah, the chigazer gzeirato mitchad binayu, mevatel the gzeirotai. And sure enough, a basko comes out and says, this guy, in the name of this Roman, Adon Zeh mezuman l'chaye olam haba. And in fact, he actually is mezuman to come to olam haba. Tan Rabbanon, mi shecharav habayit barishona, nitkapzu kitot kitot shopirchei kuhuna, umavtechot ha'echal biyadan. So when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the young Kohanim, who were the ones that were going to be doing the Aveda, they came carrying the keys to the Heichal, and they olu l'gaga Heichal, they went up to the roof, and they said, Ribono shel olam, hoyil velo zachinu liyot gizborim ne'emanim, since obviously we were unable to do our duties to protect the Beis HaMikdash and to do the Shmira and to give it the cover that was necessary to protect it from these Goyim, we feel that we are failures and we're giving you back the keys. Iyu maftechot misurot lecha. And they threw the keys up to the Shemayim, and sure enough, yatzta ke'in pisat yad v'kibalta mehem. And an image of a hand came out of the Shamayim and took the keys from them. And then the Kohanim jumped directly into the Eish that was burning the Beis HaMikdash and died. This is exactly what the Navi was talking about when he spoke about Masa Gei Chizayon. So this was like the terrible Nevias that he had about the Chizayon and the place of Yerushalayim. What in the world took place that you should all go up to the top of the roofs? This was a place that was filled with all of the action and all of the happenings of Yomim Tovim and people coming up, and it was a city that was so full of happiness. And now, these people that were on those roofs, they weren't killed by the sword, and they weren't casualties in any kind of war. They literally had been so completely destroyed psychologically that that's why they died. Ve'af ba'kadosh baruch hu ne'emar, mekarkar kir v'shoa elahar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kevayochol is crying and saying over kinais about Har Tzion sheshamem. And that is all part of the same Masav Gechizanyon. Now the Mishnah says, Mishin Nichnas Av M'matin B'simcha. But, says Rav Yehuda Bereda B'Shmuel B'Shilas B'Shmeid Rav, you know that the same thing is true in the inverse. Because when you have the nature of Simcha that is affecting the Churban, and remember that ultimately it's Tachas Asher Lo Avadeta Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav, so that it's really the deepest insight that the Mishnah is giving us is that it's the lack of simcha that created the churban, and not the churban that created the lack of simcha. And that's why it starts with bechiah, of course. The whole thing, you want to be miserable? You want to cry? So the impact of that misery is that you lose all of your connection to the teva that's given you. And that's why, halacha lemaisa, we don't react to the churban with experiencing the sadness. We relive the events of the churban by having the sadness before, which were the gerem of the churban. Therefore, mishen nichnas av, we're already mamayatim besimcha, because that's exactly what was the process. But if that's the case, the same thing is true, where we have the opposite, and where we have the simcha of La Yudim Aita Rav, Simcha Vasason, and so on, that is the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, remember. Because that's what Esther achieved. That was the theme throughout the Megillah. At Chatzia Malchut, V'lo Davar Chotzei Et HaMalchut. And then when Esther was successful, so then it was Dafka, her descendant, that saw to it that the Beis HaMikdash would be rebuilt and so on. So now the Pella is that the same thing has to be true, says Rav Yehuda Bereda Shmuel Bar Shilat, has to be true in the inverse. Because if we're Isaac in the miut of Simcha, in order to be able to reconstruct the Churban, then from the Knisa of Adar, in order to recreate the Beis HaMikdash, we have to start being Marbim B'Simcha. And therefore, we do the same thing in the inverse. That's why he says Kishem. It's literally Kishem. It's the same Aveda in the opposite sense. And that's why the year is split between those two anagas. Omer of Papa, if this is true, what we said before, that megalgalin chova to a day of chova, then that means that you have to realize that this is a very bad time for you. And if that's the case, if you are a Ben Yisrael, and you have some type of whatever, some kind of business lawsuit, it doesn't matter what's going on, but you have some kind of din with a goy, and the court is called for of, get out of it. Lishtami minei ba'av, do not go to court during Chodesh Av, because then things are bad for Yisrael, deria mazli. On the contrary, make yourself very, very open and available to telephone calls and so on during Adar, and agree to go to court during Adar, because that's the time, the bori mazli, when your mazel will be good and you have a good chance of winning out there. And then it says in the Pasuk, when we're talking about the whole Golos of Bavel, Ki Anochi Yadati Et HaMachshavot Asher Anochi Choshev Aleichem Ne'um Hashem, ultimately you need to be sure that what I'm thinking about is machshavot shalom v'lo l'ra'a. Ultimately, this is all meant to be, give you a future. Latet lechem acharit v'tikva. I'm sending you to Bovel so that things should end up being good for you. What is that referring to? Latet lechem acharit v'tikva. Om Rav Yehuda b'Reder Rav Shmuel bar Shilat Mishmei d'Rav. This refers to the trees, the palm trees that we have in Pishtan, and the clay Pishtan, because there the Bnei Yisrael, like we saw before about Rabbi Zerah, my gosh, you can buy a whole bushel of this delicious stuff for a buck. I mean, assuming you figure out how to eat them without spending your night in the bathroom, but then they should be learning Torah. So this is a good parnosah for Bnei Yisrael, and they will have plenty of clothing made from things that are chashev, and they will become big businessmen and be very successful. And the third thing that Rav Yehuda b'Reder Rav Shmuel bar Shilat says, which, by the way, this is very nogezolot, it's all beautiful discussion and pretzadik about this, but the Gemara says it's Dafkar Rav Shmuel bar Shilat, who is a descendant of Haman. And he explains why these Dafka, these Ma'amorim, are Nogea, that relationship that he had, that he was being Magal over here, these three Ma'amorim. So in Vayomer Re'e Re'ach B'ni, Ki Re'ach Sadeh Asher Be'racho Hashem, Om Rav Yehuda b'Reder Rav Shmuel bar Shilat Mishmei d'Rav, what this is referring to, what was this delicious smell? That was the Re'ach Sadeh Shel Tapuchim, which, as you know, Tosus always explains, that Re'ach Shel Tapuchim mean Esrogim. And this goes all the way back to Gan Eden, because basically what we're talking about was the clothing that he put on, and that was the clothing that Nimrod had taken from after Adam. So these were originally Adam in Gan Eden, and Adam in Gan Eden, we know that the entire relationship over there, the one thing that wasn't Nifka was Reach. And furthermore, we also know that the whole inyan over there was that it was a tama eitz ketama pri, and only those things that were a kilkel didn't have tama eitz ketama pri. But the way that we identify the esrog is that it's pri eitz hadar, which means that the eitz is the tama the pri of the esrog, which is the reason that the esrog doesn't rot, because it never dies, because the tama eitz ketama pri. So you leave the esrog around, and it just turns into eitz, which of course is what it is, because the eitz tastes like the pri. Anyway, so he's bringing back the entire story all the way from Gan Eden through the Maisa of Esav and Rome and Yaakov Avinu, and bringing it through the Golas of Bovel originally, through the second Beis HaMikdash, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is searching for us to be successful. Of course, he has a big, you know, a very big discussion about the Hasidic elements of the Jews going all around the world in order to be Ma'ala, the Klipas, the Kedusha that fell into the Klipas, and so on. That's where they go all over, but that ends up being Achris V'tikva in order to restore light and joy to the world, and so on. Okay, Omer of Nachman. So we said, in the Mishnah we said, Shabbat Shechal Tisha'a Ba'av Liyot B'tocha Asurin L'Saper U'L'Chabez. So Omer of Nachman, Loshanu Ela L'Chabez V'L'Bosh. When we say you're not allowed to do laundry, that means you're not allowed to do laundry and wear the clothes, but you could do laundry to put it into a drawer, and then you could wear it later. I mean, like, why would doing laundry be a happiness? I mean, doing laundry isn't happy, so there should be no iser in doing the laundry. You could put it away for afterwards. But Rav Shesha Sama, not true. Afilu l'chabes v'laniach, even putting it away for later, is absolutely usur. Om Rav Shesha's teda. Well, of course that's true, because we know that they shut down the laundromat, batlit katit ve'rav, and they didn't allow anybody even in their house by Rav to do laundry during that period. And if it wasn't that there was an issur on the laundry per se, why would they stop the laundering for later? Most of Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna points out that what Rav Nachman is saying makes no sense in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says that in the event that Shabbos is going to be, that Tisha B'Av is going to be on Erev Shabbos, so then on Thursday, you're allowed to do the laundry because of Kavod HaShabbos. If you don't do the laundry on Thursday, so then you're not going to have what to wear on Shabbos. So explain to me what that means. That you're allowed to do the laundry and wear the clothes on Thursday? That's ridiculous. Why should you be allowed to do the laundry and wear the fresh clothing on Thursday as a Kavod Shabbos? What's the Kavod Shabbos wearing clothes on Thursday? Can't mean that. So obviously what it means is, because it might be Kavod Shabbos. So obviously, what does it mean? It means lehaniach. It means that you can, we're allowing you on Thursday to do the laundry and put the clothing away to put on the clean clothing for Shabbos. And we're only allowing that on Thursday, because otherwise you won't have clean clothing for Shabbos. But that means that all the rest of the week, you're not allowed to do the laundry to put it away for later. That's just saying beferish. How can you say that we're only discussing an issur of doing laundry and wearing it? So you're saying bechamishi hu deshori, and the Shabbos kula also, the whole week, it's definitely also. So for sure, Reb Nachman makes no sense. No, says Reb Nachman, I'll tell you how it can work out. It could be that we're even talking about wearing the clothes. So can you explain to me what kind of covered Shabbos there is? Wearing clothes on Thursday? Yes, I can. Because if ein lo ela chaluk echad, let's say this guy only has one set of clothing. And we know that the halacha is, at least legabe chalamoid, and undoubtedly it's the same idea. Rav Asi Om Rav Yochanan said, benoger chalamoid, that misha ein lo ela chaluk echad, if a person only has one set of clothing, then he's allowed to wash it during chalamoid, even though he washed it immediately before chalamoid. And even though normally it's usur, but the idea over here is that if you do not do your laundry during the week again, so then what can happen is that you can get lice, because if there were any eggs, then they will hatch. And because of that, you need to do the laundry before that happens. So that means that even though you did the laundry before, we insist that you do it one more time so that your clothing will be wearable when it comes time for Shabbos. That's what it means. It means you can actually take off your clothes and put them back in completely laundered. So obviously only in a case where you only have that one set of clothing, but lamaisa, that's what it's referring to. So memela, that would work out too. Itmar nami, and also it's not only Reb Nachman who paskin that. Reb Binyamin quotes Reb Elazar as saying that the only iser in the Mishnah was l'chabes v'lil bosh, but to be meniach is mutter. So it's okay to wash the clothing as long as you don't put them on. Ask the Gemara from a Brisa Meisvei. Also, l'chabes lifnei tish'a b'av. And here it says, afilu laniach l'achar tish'a b'av. So it says, beferish in the Brisa. You cannot do laundry even in order to put it away for after tish'a b'av. And you should know that our gihutz in Bavel is the equivalent of their kivutz. Now, this is a very, very complicated question. It's a big machlokas we're showing you. What is the meaning of gihutz? Now, as you know, the modern usage of the word gihutz, and Rashi says this elsewhere, that it means using a stone and a hot stone in order to be able to what we would call ironing. So that's one approach to gihutz. However, there's a lot of other Rishonim who say that gihutz has to do with the level of washing. And it's a question what kind of detergents you're going to be using in the wash. And therefore, what this Gemara has two very different approaches. One is that the water in Bavel is low quality water because it's very muddy and it did not do a good job at washing. So they needed to add these detergents in order to get clothing clean. Whereas in Eretz Yisrael, the water was so pure that they could wash just with that water. So therefore, they were adding that here in Bavel, even though doing the normal wash is not considered to be a violation of the Avelis issues of Tisha B'Av, because it doesn't do a good job anyway. But if you do Gihutz, so then it does. And that makes a lot of sense out of the sugya. To learn the Gihutz is the question of, like, ironing is a little bit strange. It would have something to do with the level of chashivas. But I mean, look, you could say that if the water is better, so then maybe things come out in a way that is smoother and so on. And then we're adding that giyutz is just as chashiv, or maybe it's not nogea one or the other, but it's just that even if it wasn't well laundered, but if it's also ironed, so then it looks more chashiv and it's closer to a violation of the whole idea of Tisha B'Av. But whatever the pshat is, these are two very different approaches and they have a big nafkamina l'halacha. Because if the problem is the question of the water quality in Bavel, so then the giyut shalanu is just an issue of the way it is in Bavel. right? And because here in Bava, we have this muddy water. I mean, that doesn't mean that if you're living in a, you know, in Switzerland, that you've got muddy water. And that the water over there is going to be not as good for washing as it is in Eretz Yisrael. Why would you think that? You know, Masha Enkein, if it's something else that is being done in Eretz Yisrael, then I don't know. But, okay, Lamaisa, it's a machlokes haposkim, whether there's any kind of basis to be matir. Of course, the Ashkenazim are not matir anything. And as we'll see, they're also machmer much more than the Gemara's machmer. We already saw that they're machmer. And certainly on all of these inyanim of doing things, you know, like we just learned about washing your clothes on Thursday, which is, you know, Erev Tisha B'Av, in order to have it for Shabbos. Boy, oh boy, don't try that one, let me tell you. And the Teimanim are actually knowing all of these Gemaras, halacha l'maaseh, I mean, like every single one. So like, it looks like, oh my God, I'm doing all of these things. And it seems to us so strange, but it's pashut the psak of the Gemara. Okay, but anyway, it says over here clearly, the first part said clearly that you are not allowed to do kivus afilu laniach lachar Tisha B'Av. You can't get clearer than that. And you know, Chinami says the Gemara Tiyuftas. Because of that, that's the end of that halacha. We don't paskin like that. And nobody is matir doing kivus in order to put it into a drawer and to use later. Shalach Rav Yitzchok bar Giyurei Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, Afa Pishomro Klik Pishtan Ein Behem Mishum Giyutz, even though Pishtan actually does not have a problem of Giyutz, because it never really, Pishtan itself always looks a little bit crummy. In other words, it never gets completely smooth and flat. It's the type of things, and that's part of the appearance of Pishtan. So people, Badafka, will wear linen shirts and so on. They're not going to look like pressed cotton shirts. They will look like linen. And that's part of the special flavor of linen. So even though there's no Isser of Giyutz, you wouldn't be allowed to wear them even if you did the Giyutz before Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av and Kosher Kein, if they were washed according to the higher madrega of washing, which is the Eretz Yisrael, so then you're not allowed to wear them in that week, even though you didn't wash them in that week. On my Rav, now, let's just make clear what we mean the week that Tisha B'Av was Chal. Because that sounds like if Tisha B'Av was, let's say, on Tuesday, that you wouldn't be able to wear them all week, including Wednesday and Thursday. But that's not true. This halacha of Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av is only the days before Tisha B'Av in the Shavuot Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. Doesn't mean the whole week. Avol la'acharav, after Tisha B'Av, you can do everything. Rav Shmuel says, no, it means the week. Anytime during the week, you are not allowed to. Es the Gemara Meisvei, Shabbat Shechal Tisha B'Av liot betocha asur lesaper lechabez. You're not allowed to cut your hair or you're not allowed to do the laundry during that week of Tisha B'Av. But on Thursday, we said, you are allowed to do this because it quotes Shabbat. So for instance, what do we mean? So let's say Tisha B'Av comes out on a Sunday. Chaliot bechad b'Shabbat. So then you can do your laundry all week long because Tisha B'Av was over on Sunday. So then you've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You could do it all week long. And the same thing would be true if Tisha B'Av came out on Yom Sheni, or Yom Shlishi, or Yom Revi'i. All of this would be true. And B'chavishi, but lefun of us are l'acharav mutter. It's davka, always mutter afterwards. If Tisha B'Av comes all the way out on Erev Shabbos, then you're even allowed to wash on Thursday in order to be able to have something on Shabbos. And what's more, im lo kibes b'chavishi b'shabbat. If you did not do the kivus, and you're not going to have what to wear that's clean for Shabbos, this, of course, is another one of these piskei halachas that we don't do, and we'll see when the Gemara Abaye was very upset with this, you'd be allowed to wash your clothes on Tisha B'Av itself, you know, after Chatzos, you know, after Mincha. So that way you'll have what to wear on Shabbos. But before we finish the Braisa, we need to hear Abaye's response to that. Oh, yeah? I mean, Abaye cursed anybody who would listen to this kind of thing and actually be saying, you should have taken care of it before. Suffer if you didn't take care of it. Chas v'sholem, somebody should wash his clothes on Tisha B'Av. Anyway, so getting back to the Braisa. Now, if Tisha B'Av comes out on Sunday, or comes out on Thursday. So what do we do with the Kriya Satira? So then, since those are days of normal Kriya, so we do the normal Kriya in terms of the number of people. Obviously, we read the Parsha, that's the Tisha B'Av, and we have three people reading, and we do a Maftir. One of those three people is the Maftir on the Tainis. And fine, so we don't do more than three people, because the takana of only having three people read b'chol, that's takana all the way from the time of the original takana for Kriyas HaTorah, and we never call up more than three. And on Rosh Chodesh, we'll never call up more than four. The only time that you're allowed to add, that's Dafka, we're talking about Shabbos, and there you're allowed to add, but you cannot add another Kriya to make it the Haftorah over here. So what about if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Yom Shlishi or Yom Revi'i? So then there's no normal Kriya Satera. So then, according to the Tanakhama, you cannot have even three people leaning. You could only have one person, and that one person is the Maftir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that's not true. You can always have a Kriya Satera on other days besides Mondays and Thursdays. And then it's the same Kriya Satora. That's on Mondays and Thursdays. Three people. One of whom will be the Maftir in this case. So lo'olam korim shlosha, u'maftir echad. Okay, but anyway, getting back to the Reisha. The Reisha said beferish that only the days before Tisha B'Av are aser and not the days after. You can't get it more clear than this Braisa. So like, what was Shmuel thinking? Tiyufta de Shmuel. Says the Amalek HaShmuel. What's the Tiyufta? I understand. It's a machlokes tanoim. I'll show you the other braisa. And I follow the other tanoim, the Tanya. Tisha B'Av shechal liyot b'Shabbat. V'chein erev Tisha B'Av shechal liyot b'Shabbat. The din is that during Shabbos, you eat whatever you want. Ochel v'shote kol tzorko. You can bring up, even during Suda Shlishis, right before the end of Shabbos, anything that you're eating could be like one of these incredible su'udas of Shlomo HaMelech b'Shato. Why do we say b'Shato? Because it's about Chlokas, whether Shlomo HaMelech maybe lost his Malchus and never got back. But anyway, b'Shato, during the time of his grandeur, the Chassidim explained that Shlomo HaMelech b'Shato is bedavka means Shlomo HaMelech during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And that it means that if somebody is zeicha to the Mekayim Suda Shlishis on Shabbos, in the same way that it's the Chevli Mashiach, he's Nitzel from Chevli Mashiach, he's also able to recreate the or of what that Suda was at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he doesn't have to be Mamayit in any way because he's sharing the Shlomo HaMelech Suda was Mechanech the Beis HaMikdash, even though he's living at a time in which, unfortunately, is a Churban. The also is saper v'lechapes. You're not to take a haircut. You're not to do your clothing from Rosh Chodesh all the way up until the Tainus. But after the Tainus, you can. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Yehuda says during the whole month of Av, even afterwards, you can't do anything. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no, the whole week you can't do anything. Not the whole month. Okay, but anyway, Rabbi Meir is saying only before and not after. I, Shmuel, was going to go to Shimon Gamliel. Rib Shimon Gamliel says the whole week, even after. So I agree. It's definitely a machlokas tanayim. And v'tanidach, there's another price also that says, v'noig, evel mirosh chodesh v'ad ha-tainis. There's dinam of avelas from Rosh Chodesh until the tainis itself. So says Rabbi Meir. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says the whole month. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says no, but the whole week, yes. Now Rabbi Yochanan says that the marker for the three shitas of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the same plastic. V'shloshtam mikra achad darshu. Dichti vishbati kol misosa chaga chotsha v'shabata. So in Hosea it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to end all of the simcha in Yisrael. The chag, and this chag is a reference to Rosh Chodesh. That's I mentioned to you earlier, that we're going to see that there's a reference to the moed of Rosh Chodesh, calling it a chagah. And that's this, as Rashi brings. That's the Korualai moed, Lishbor Bachurai. So that moed is in a chag. So that's chagah means from Rosh Chodesh, but only from Rosh Chodesh till the Tainis. Or it's a din in Chodesha. It's a din in the whole month. Or it's a din in Shabbata. So each one was medayik a different way of which one is the ikar. So obviously, Man Man Diomer is Derish Michagga, which means only from Rosh Chodesh. And the Man Diomer is Kol HaChodesh Kula, is Aser, he learns from Chodesh. And the Man Diomer Kol HaShabbat Kula Aser is learning Mishabbata. And Rava says Halach is like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that it's the whole week. And there's also another Maimer of Rava that says it's like Rabbi Meir, which is that it's from Rosh Chodesh. And basically, both of these are focusing on what is the kula of both of these shitas. Darvaya lekula. And I'll explain to you why I need to paskin both of these. In other words, if I would have said Allah Karebi Meir, so you would have said, oh, so we need to ask for things even from Rosh Chodesh. That's why I tell you Allah Karebi Shemang Amliel. But if I tell you Allah Karebi Shemang Amliel, you would have said, oh my God. So then that means the whole week, even after Tisha B'Av. No, that's why I tell you like Rabbi Meir. So that Lamaisa, what's Aser, is only the week of Tisha B'Av and only till after Tisha B'Av. Now, that's actually the Psak. Of course, and I said this is the way the Teimanim actually are Nayag. It's only Halacha in that week. Now, different Kihilites were Mekabel, different, of course, the Ashkenazim, outdo everybody, so they have the idea of the whole 3 weeks, even starting on Shavuot Sabbatamos to Aser the haircuts and so on. Other people Aser, their Ashkenazim Aser eating meat even from Rosh Chodesh, which is not the din over here that we're paskening at all. And this is even the Gabe haircuts and kibbutz, Koshke eating meat, nobody Aser that. I mean, that's really a tremendous chumrah. And we'll see tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, for Zeicha, to continue this sugya, we'll see other chumras that Bedavka, it's the Ashkenazim that have, and that many of the other Kihilot do not have. But anyway, it's a sad Betzai Shabbos when we have to be dealing with the Yonim of Tisha B'Av, I got to tell you. It wasn't exactly the thing we're looking forward to, but of course, Yinei El Yeshua Si, Eftach V'lo Havchad, undoubtedly it's a remez that this is the end of all of that Surah, and Bezus Hashem, we should be Zeicher to a Gula Shleima Meir, especially if you had a good Sudash Lashin. That definitely is a good thing.